In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, lifting up his eyes, seeing a large crowd that was coming toward him, said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. That's part of our gospel reading this morning. Jesus knew what he was going to do, knew how he was going to feed these people, but tested Philip and said, "What are we going to do, Philip? What are we going to do?" Now, this was a legitimate crisis in the making. And I have sometimes not seen that, I don't think. You know, it seems easy. Here you got 5,000 people, you don't have food, just send them away, right? But there's a few more details you should be aware of that made it a legitimate problem. And that was, in the morning, Jesus had sailed across the Sea of Galilee to try and get away from the people. So they, not wanting to leave him, they walked along the north shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. They walked a long ways, a number of miles, to get to where he landed on the other side. And then when Jesus saw them, so he gets to the other side, sees this large crowd, he has compassion on them, Mark tells us, and starts healing them and teaching them all day long. So you've had people that have walked many miles that they weren't planning on walking. They didn't pack food for the day. They've been there all day listening to Jesus, watching him heal. It's getting late. You know, this is an actual problem. If they try to send all these people home, it may not be good for some of them. They haven't eaten all day. So it's a crisis. And that's, of course, not the worst of it. If it were 50 people, you understand this is manageable. We'll go find food in town or something. But it's 5,000 people. But wait, that's 5,000 men, plus women and children, at least 10,000 people. Okay, where do you get food for 10,000 people at the end of a day? Where would you do it even today? Okay, this is a crisis. A crisis is brewing. People are hungry. They have to travel back home. Some of the older, less healthy ones, they might even have trouble making it home. So Jesus turns to Philip and says, "Hey, what are we going to do, Philip? What are we going to do?" Well, what do you think Philip should say? What are we going to do, Philip? Well, Jesus, first of all, why are you asking me? Right? I mean, that's got to be the first reaction. I don't know what to do. So he gets sarcastic, and you see it. Like, he says, 200 denarii wouldn't buy enough bread for all these people to eat. 200 denarii, you understand. One day's wage was one denarius. So you're talking about the amount of money you would make in 200 days, about two-thirds of a year. So what? Anywhere from like $20,000 to $50,000. So obviously, Philip doesn't know what to do, so he tries to be funny, right? Sarcastic. Oh, 200, hey, I'll buy enough food. Well, what's Philip to say? Jesus is testing him. What should he answer? Well, Jesus, we can, you know, I'll go over to McDonald's, right? Call Monocles, have him deliver pizzas. You know, this is the problem is you're at the end of a day. There's no one that's going to be able to feed these people. So probably what Philip is thinking is, Jesus, just tell everybody to get out of here. It's not our problem. Send them away. Send them home, right? The point is, Philip has no idea what we're going to do. He's lost. Jesus says, "What are we going to do, Philip?" And Philip says, "You tell me. I don't know." Right? But remember that verse I started with. Jesus himself knew what he would do. That's really interesting. You've all had to deal with some crises before. And what do you do when you got a real crisis on your hands? Maybe think back to one. What have you done when you've had a real crisis, okay? And we're not talking about like when the milk runs out and IGA is a few blocks away or a few miles away, okay? Sometimes I act like it's a crisis. Oh, we ran out of milk. Now I got to drive 3 blocks, right? No, we're talking about a real crisis. Or a crisis is not when the cable goes out or your internet goes down, okay? Real crisis. What are we going to do? Let's take one, for instance, where you lose everything. People have been through those kind of crises a lot, a tornado, a fire. What do you do when you lose all your stuff? And then what do you do when Jesus tests you and says, "What are we going to do now?" No. What about a health crisis, like diagnosed with cancer, or you have a heart attack or a stroke? And what do you answer when Jesus tests you and says, "What are we going to do now?" Or what about a crisis like adultery or divorce? What about when you and or your spouse have ruined a marriage? What do you say when Jesus asks you, "What are we going to do now?" Or what about when you have crisis of addiction? Like when it seems you can't stop gambling, you can't stop drinking, can't stop looking at pornography, can't stop gossiping. What do you do when Jesus asks you, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this? These are real crises of life. What are we going to do, Philip? We've got 10,000 people here we got to feed. What are we going to do? Are we going to fret and worry? Are we going to act as if everything is hopeless? Just get rid of them. Get rid of them. Send them away. We can't help them. What are we going to do? Are we going to get angry at God? Like when health issues, these kind of things, or we lose everything, and we get angry at God and whine and complain that we don't deserve this. This shouldn't be happening to us. Are we going to fake it? Like when we've got addictions or when we've had sins, are we going to fake it and act like it's no big deal? Oh, don't worry about it, God. Thank you very much. I can handle this just on my own. It's not a big deal. Are we going to make false promises to God? Tell him, hey, next time I'll do better. I'll never do it again. What are we going to do? Or will we remember these words? Jesus himself knew what he would do. Those are pretty big words, aren't they? Will we turn to Jesus and say, I don't have a clue what we're going to do, but you do, and I trust you, and I believe in you. See, this is calling every one of us to repent, because Jesus has many times asked each one of us, what are we going to do? And we have fretted, and we've worried, and we've whined, and complained, and we've sinned even more, and we've gotten angry, and we've cursed, and we've, all of it. We haven't trusted, we haven't believed, we've been sarcastic like Philip, but Jesus is the answer. What are we going to do? What are you going to do, Jesus? Jesus is the bread of life. Where are we going to buy bread for all these people, Philip? Well, Jesus, you are the bread. Jesus is the answer. God handles crises, okay? This is not a problem for God at all. Of course, all those things I mentioned earlier, to us, they are huge problems, huge crises. But you understand, God doesn't even know the word crisis. God doesn't have crises. He just takes care of everything. If you've been watching any of the presidential election stuff, you know that all of the candidates are going to talk about, and they have been talking about, how we are in a crisis, you know, and then whatever it is, crisis of economy, you know, foreign policy, whatever, you know, whatever the crisis is. And that gets the rest of us all worked up, right? Oh, no, our nation is in a state of crisis. But you understand, God doesn't even know crisis. He doesn't know the word crisis. None of this is a problem for him. And that goes for everything. Think about the Old Testament reading today, the Israelites. They're in the wilderness. Oh, no, a crisis. We're out here. We got nothing to eat, right? We're out in the desert. Somebody's belly grumbles, and everybody starts thinking about, uh-oh, what are we going to do? We don't have any food. And just think about how silly that is for them to think this is a crisis. They just watched God take the Red Sea and part it in half, and they walk through on dry ground. Then they get in the wilderness. Oh no, what are we going to eat? Okay, God can take care of it, right? They start grumbling at Moses and saying, oh, we should go back to Egypt and all this stuff. Can God provide food? Not a problem. He just rains down quail and manna from heaven. Okay, no big deal. And this is not a big deal, you know, for God. None of our crises are a big deal for God. Now, I want to make sure you don't misunderstand me. He very much cares about our crises. He very much cares about you. But he doesn't worry and fret about it as we do. The feeding of the 5,000 today, not a big deal, right? What are we going to do, Philip? And Philip gets sarcastic and says, oh, even if we had tons of money, we couldn't solve this problem. But all Jesus is looking for Philip to say is, you take care of it, Jesus. So, oh, here's a young boy. He's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Perfect. Oh, I can work with that, Jesus says, right? And isn't that kind of cool that it's so simple, right? Jesus doesn't like, there's not like this huge fireworks display and bread and fish start falling out of the sky. It's so simple. No, Jesus just says, oh, he's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Just bring them over here. Gives thanks for it, blesses it, says, hand it out, right? And what do you think those disciples are thinking? They got 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, 10,000 people, and Jesus is like, start handing it out. They're like, this is going to be embarrassing. You know, this is going to be awkward because we're going to get to like the 20th person and we're out of food. But okay, Jesus, you say to, right? And remember, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish did not all of a sudden become 5,000 loaves and 5,000 fish. No, it was still 5 loaves and 2 fish. So they start handing it out and everybody's looking at it like, this is what we got, but it just doesn't run out. It just keeps coming. Think about how incredible that miracle is. I read one guy said there must have been a lot of laughter as like one guy's taking bread out and it gets to the next guy and there's the same amount of bread in there again. Right? Think about, for a very good parallel example, think about Elijah and the widow. Remember, she has just a little bit of flour left and a little bit of oil, and she says, well, I'm going to make one last bread and we're going to die. But Elijah says, don't worry about it. And it just never runs out. You know, it's not like all of a sudden she gets this huge jar of oil. No, there's always just that little bit at the bottom, but it just never runs out. That's pretty cool, right? That's what God does. They keep handing them out till they get to the very end, and all of a sudden, we'll gather up the leftovers, and how in the world did we get 12 baskets? How did this happen? Right? That's pretty cool. Jesus is perfectly capable of handling every crisis. In fact, if you think about it, God does these kinds of miracles all the time. We just don't notice them. This spring, farmers are going to put one kernel of corn in the ground, and it's going to come up and produce 100 kernels. That's a miracle. Well, we don't even give that one notice. We're so used to it. You put two people together in a marriage, and they produce a child. That is an incredible miracle. God does that, right? Now, we don't notice those all the time, but here, when Jesus takes 5 loaves and feeds 10,000 people, well, we're going to take notice. Now, Jesus then goes on in John chapter 6 to explain to the crowds after this that he is the bread of life. Understand, okay? They all, after this, they clamor for more bread. They're always wanting him to do this again. Do more miracles. Give us more bread. But they miss the point. The point is not a bunch of bread and fish. The point is Jesus. He is the bread of life. He's the answer to every crisis, okay? He himself knows what he will do. And he says that the bread that he gives us is his own flesh for the life of the world. He gave it to us on the cross, and he gives it to us in the Lord's Supper. So maybe a good, helpful way to think about this is the petition we pray in the Lord's Prayer all the time. Give us this day our daily bread. And in the catechism says, what does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without a prayer, even to all evil people. Okay, so the point is, God's always going to provide. You don't have to worry about that. Even if you're the most evil, wicked person, God's still going to take care of you. He's still going to provide for your needs, okay? That's not what we're praying for. No big deal for God. But what we're praying in that petition is that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our bread with thanksgiving. So when we see Jesus feeding 10,000 people, the point is not the bread that he's giving, the point is him. And when we see God providing for every one of our daily needs, the point is him. That he takes care of us, and that we should realize that and be thankful for it, and realize he's going to take care of every single need we have. So when you hear Jesus asking you, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, John, or you insert your own name? What are we going to do? Well, you know he's strengthening your faith, that you would trust him and believe that he himself knows what he will do, to know that he is the bread of life that will provide for whatever need it is that you have. Don't worry, don't fret, don't say, oh, I've doomed, I've only got this little bit of money, I've only got this little bit of time, I only got so many friends. God will multiply whatever you have. He will take care of that. He can feed 10,000 people with 5 loaves of bread. It's not a problem. Finally, one more thing I think you should just notice is how much is left over. That's a really cool thing, too. They get to the end, they've got 12 baskets of leftover bread. And the point is, remember, Jesus is the bread. So the point is, there is plenty of Jesus to go around. Okay, Jesus himself comes to each and every one of you to help you in each and every one of your crises. There will always be plenty of grace, plenty of mercy, plenty of love. You will never have so many sins that Jesus cannot deal with them. There is always plenty with God. Psalm 23, remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, that's your gospel reading today. They all sat down on the green grass and God took care of them. Well, that's what he does for you, to the point where your cup is overflowing. Okay? And in the Lord's Supper, think about that. That we here in the Lord's Supper today, when we come, we receive Jesus in his body and blood, in the bread and wine. Every one of us do. And yet at the same time, there are churches all around the world who are also receiving Christ in his body and blood, in the bread and wine. So God can do these things. There is plenty of Jesus for everyone. So what are we going to do, right? Jesus is always your answer in every crisis. Later in John chapter 6, Peter put it this way, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's perfect. Jesus has the words. Jesus has the answer. He is the answer. So we will trust and believe in him, and we will watch his grace and his forgiveness just multiply. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.